thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Who said history was boring? I personally love looking back. I don't know about yourselves. I love looking back at interesting facts, a wee bit like what we've done this morning, where they've originated from. I love the storyline of a film. I don't know if you're into dramas or films, but I don't know if you can follow the storyline or if you like to, or you just kind of sit there and look at the pictures. But I love to just get to the bottom of the plot. Who did what to who, when, and why they did it. I also love those programs. I think I might have told you before. Who Do You Think You Are? And Long Lost Families. Anyone else like them? Love looking back at the ancestry. I think they're pretty much the same thing. People looking back to trace their ancestors through a family tree or attempting to find or reunite a loved one after years of separation. So on my mother's side, my mother was a Turkington before she married my father. The Turkingtons were all army men. My grandfather Ivan, that would be my mother's father, was the youngest of seven sons. He wasn't the seventh son of a seventh son, but he was the youngest of seven sons. Both he and his brothers then would have been on the battlefield. So I have four great uncles of mine who would have fought in World War I. One of my grandfather's brothers was called Ernest. He was a corporal in the British Army. He was killed on the first day of July, 1916, aged only 22. For those of you who know your history, will know that that was the first day of the Battle of the Somme. It was the bloodiest of all of those days. There were 19,240 men who were killed on that very first day of the Battle of the Somme. So another great uncle of mine, a brother of Ernest, a second lieutenant called Alfred Turkington, was awarded a medal for bravery. Ernest had been fatally shot. Alfred had seen it happening. He couldn't stop to help him because that wasn't permitted. He had to continue with his duty. But later that night, under the cover of darkness, he was given the go-ahead to go out and search for his dead brother's body. He couldn't find him, but he ended up finding a fallen colleague who had some very important documents on him that if the enemy had have retrieved those documents could have had a significant impact upon the war, and therefore he was awarded a medal for bravery. On my father's side, the Prentice clan, you probably know I've come from a long line of dodgy car dealers. They say that you can't turn the clock back. I'm not so sure about that. I always believed that no one in the Prentice lineage or our family had ever been called by God to serve him in full-time ministry. I always just felt, oh, they're all motormen, way, trace them way back. But it was wrong, because recently we traced through a friend, a relative who was born in America, who went on to the mission field and sadly died at the age of 40. I may possibly have told this story before. If I have, forgive me, but I think a number of you will not have heard it. And so he served the Lord in East Asia. Here's the obituary of my relative, Charles Barras. A wake was held on Wednesday, the 9th of September, 1992, in Japan for his parishioners. Somebody wrote this: it was a spontaneous outpouring of love from the Christian community of Fushima, which is a poor section of the city of Kyoto. The men came as they were from work. They prayed, they sang hymns of faith, and recounted cherished memories of Charlie's generosity and, above all, his gentleness. Charlie had shared his life, visited their homes, worked on parish projects together, and was always available for pastoral counseling. His personality was ideal for mission and ministry. For the Mary Knoll family here in Japan, it was a shock, even though all were aware of his health situation. He was ever at the disposal of others. While it is difficult to lose a young, talented missionary, his influence in the parish and the diocese will live on. In the Christians he guided, in the vocations he nurtured, and the colleagues he shared his ministry with. In a way, it was a great blessing. He taught people how to live, and he taught them how to die. I saw a photograph of him not long after. In fact, at the same time that it was revealed to me that a relative of mine had been on the mission field. He was a good-looking fella, of course. He was a relation. A man with a full beard, dressed in a suit with a dog collar. And I'll be honest with you, there was a lump in my throat when I saw the photo and when I read about him. And there was a tear in my eye. And then I discovered to my surprise that this kind, caring, and compassionate man was a Roman Catholic priest. I couldn't understand why, having left our land at one stage, in fact, he didn't. He was born in America, but relations of his many years back had left, as many had, to go to America, perhaps to find a better life for themselves. I think many of the Protestant community would have migrated towards the Catholic community, who would have been in different areas within America. And whatever happened, whatever period of time transgressed between that, then the family then became went to the Catholic faith. But you know, he seemed a really, really lovely man. Can we turn, please, to God's Word this morning again? Can we turn to John chapter 16? Remember what our title is this morning, folks. Hard roads often lead to beautiful destinations. John 16, and we're going to pick it up just the last two verses in the chapter and then read into John 17. Jesus, of course, had been addressing his disciples in the upper room. And we're coming to this verse 32. Indeed, says Jesus, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will all be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. In other words, Jesus said, you're going to be walking some hard roads. But be of good cheer. Cheer up, he says, because I have overcome the world. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I've manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of this world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you give me, I've kept. None of them is lost except the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth, for your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. We thank God for the reading of his precious word. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Hannah, Rahab, Ruth, Naomi, Samuel, David, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or make the bed, shake the bed, and into bed you go, and many other Old Testament saints could all testify that hard roads often lead to beautiful destinations. Peter and all the disciples, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Paul and Silas, Barnabas, John Mark, and many, many others in history could also testify that hard roads are often lead us to beautiful destinations. I don't know about you, but I love the fact, I love so many aspects of the Bible, but I love the fact that the Bible is brutally honest. John Andrews, who many of you will know, a great Bible teacher from the Shankill Road in Belfast, originally living in England, a great Bible teacher, has taught it wondrous. Look him up, listen to him if you don't know him. In fact, Alan Graham, who's coming tonight, is also from the Shankill Road. But John Andrews, he put this on his news feed during the week. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, could it be, he says, that the tenderness and the respect that Boaz showed to Ruth was because his mother had once been where she was? The Lord can use where we have been to help us to where we are going. Imagine you waking up one morning and you find out that your mother was a prostitute. Your world is rocked by a bombshell. The beautiful, loving, supportive woman who brought you into the world, who provided for your every need, cared for you from you first opened your eyes and made your first breath, had a really terrible past. How would you or how could you actually process that information? Yet this was the story of a man who God used mightily in his sovereign will and plan to be part of the lineage and the genealogy of not only the greatest king that Israel ever had, King David, but the greatest king in the history of mankind, Jesus, the Savior of the world. See, Boaz was that man. He was the great grandfather of King David. Rahab was his mother, a heathen woman, a prostitute from a foreign land who hid the spies when they came to Jericho. You know the story, I don't need to go into it. But one thing we do know is, regardless of her past, that God saved her and God changed her and God transformed her by his sovereign grace and his mercy. You see, hard roads often lead to beautiful destinations. You know that in our previous church, we spent 4 years in East Belfast. C.S. Lewis, I know, would be a big fan. A lot of you would be big fans of him and his writings. You have C.S. Lewis Square in East Belfast, just up the road from where our church was, just beside the Hollywood Arches. The ironic thing about it is it's called C.S. Lewis Square, and it's in the form of a circle, but then we are in Northern Ireland, aren't we? So I guess that says everything. And he said this, there are far, far better things ahead than any of us will leave behind. Folks, there are better things ahead. I know most of you, and I know most of you well, and I probably know most of what most of you are going through. I don't know everything about everybody, of course, and that's fine, but I know that there's loads of people going through loads of difficult situations. But I believe that God would say this morning that there are better things ahead. Last year, we had the privilege of having Bab Gal, if that's the right way to pronounce his name, from Nepal. And this is where I got the inspiration for my title this morning. He had put this up, I think, a good number of weeks ago. This journey is golden, he said. Often hard roads takes you to beautiful destinations. How do we look up? Nepal contains some of the most rugged and difficult mountain terrain in the world. Roughly 75% of the country is covered by mountains. Now, I think I'm right in saying, obviously, Mark and Yvonne have been out. Andrew Craig, am I right in saying you've been out? Pamela? No? Okay. Anyone else out have been out to Nepal? William? Okay, so a few of you would know what the terrain is like. And I'm sure many a time when you were traveling these roads, they were... Yvonne shaking her head. They weren't too good. I'm sure you're glad Mark wasn't driving. Mark's probably glad he wasn't driving. But I'm sure it led you to beautiful destinations. I think it's 12 weeks from Esther had her operation. And she tells the story, so I have permission to tell it. One night not long after getting home from hospital, and it was tough going for Esther, obviously. And I remember trying to get her out of bed about 3 a.m, and there was a few tears, and Esther was crying too. And she said to me, she said, "I am never getting that operation again." And I says, "Listen, pet, you're okay. You've had both of them done." Have a real pastor's heart, haven't I? But look at her now. She's a real spring chicken. Not just as young, maybe, but she's amazing. She's doing so well. And we were able to, you know, our happy place is the port. And we were able to go during the week for a lovely wee walk just along the promenade to listen to the sea and smell the seaweed and what have you. Hard roads lead to beautiful destinations. Put your hand up if you managed to get out last Sunday night, or if you listened and zoomed to what Andrew McCreary had to say. There's a good number of you heard. Such a heart-wrenching story. Andrew came to us and told us their story of losing a baby full term. You may recall when he was speaking just about, obviously, their utter devastation, their grief and their confusion. But I don't know if you caught what he said. He said that further upstream, God was working. Further upstream, God was working. See, God in his sovereignty had a plan for Andrew and Joanne, and now they work with a charity called SANS, the charity that supports anyone affected by baby loss. They serve the Lord in their local church in Portadown, Elam. They've got two beautiful sons, Joshua and Harry. Andrew also talked about ugly shoes, if you'd listened. He talked about these ugly shoes. I think it's maybe a walk or something that's done locally. Ugly shoes, he says, will take you to beautiful places. One of the bravest men in history, Martin Luther King, who was assassinated in 1968, said this: "If you can't fly, then run, and if you can't run, then walk, and if you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward." Church family, we've got to keep moving forward. We've got to keep looking onto Jesus. I never ever tire of looking at that beautiful saying that we have in God's word. Keep walking those hard roads, no matter what age you may be. It's lovely to see so many young people and so many of our youth in this morning and in many a Sunday. We thank God for each and every one of you. Truly, truly are thankful for you. It's not just older people. It's not just those of us who are a wee bit longer in the tooth who who sometimes when life kind of, the nitty gritty of life starts to happen, but you know, there are hard roads for young people as well. Listen, whatever we're walking on, whether it's the hard roads, whether it's the ugly shoes, keep going through your difficult situations. Keep going. Why? Because God is always working upstream. God is always working upstream. I think I took this photograph perhaps last Monday. It's a beautiful day today, isn't it, of course? But I think last Monday, if you can recall it, I think there was four seasons in one. You know the way we get that quite often. And there was just a horrendous hail storm. And then you could just see a wee patch of blue over to the right-hand side coming from Port Rush direction. And all of a sudden, then the clouds cleared and the rain and the hail disappeared and the sun came out. And I put this on my own page just to encourage somebody. And I said this, there's no doubt that we're in the middle of a storm. It's a horrendous place to be and we think that it will never end, but it always does. Folks, keep looking up, keep looking out, keep looking forward, keep looking to Jesus, because your storm will not last forever. And I put that on it, the calm after the storm. Someone from our church family shared this during the week, and again, it just tied in with what I wanted to say this morning. The deepest level of worship is praising God through the pain. It's thanking God through the trials. It's trusting Him when we're tempted to lose hope and loving Him even when He seems distant. What a great attitude to have. What a great attitude for us to adopt. That even in those really, really tough times, that we continue to worship God in the pain. Maybe you're like this person who I was communicating with during the week, and just speaking a wee bit about the message for this Sunday, and they said this, I feel like I've gone from one very long hard road straight to another, but the person said, I look forward to that beautiful destination. And folks, you might be saying to me this morning, you might be thinking, you might be saying, Paul, it's okay for you. It's okay for you. You seem to have got it all together. You know, surely you haven't walked hard roads. You haven't walked in my shoes, perhaps, is what you're thinking. And that's right. I haven't walked in your shoes, but I've walked in my shoes, and I've walked in my ugly shoes. And this is where I'm going to be vulnerable. Some of you will know our story. When you lose your business, and you helplessly watch your businesses fall one by one like the proverbial pack of cards. When you watch helplessly when the bank takes your house, your home, your family home, your dream home from you, something that you've worked hard for all your life, and you see it disappearing like sand just flittering through your fingers. It's a hard road to travel on when that happens. I'm laughing, and it wasn't funny at the time. Just when I was preparing this message, I thought of one meeting. I don't know if you've ever had a meeting with a bank manager, have you? I don't know how it went for you. I've had many meetings with many bank managers just when we're in business for two or three decades. But I remember one particular time, it was during this time that I'm telling you about, when things just were going completely pear-shaped. I think probably one of the biggest recessions in the history of the world had hit 2007. I think it affected everybody, and some worse than others. And I remember being called to this meeting with this senior bank manager, and he was called Nasty Noel. And I can tell you, he was a nasty bit of work. And I can honestly tell you, he wiped the floor with me. He absolutely and completely wiped the floor with me. And I remember going out of that room and going down the lift. Have you ever felt that size? You ever felt that size? I didn't even feel that size. And I come out and I got into the car. Esther was waiting for me. And she says to me, are you okay? You look terrible. I think I was just white as a sheet. Nasty Noel. Anyhow, remember we were on holidays five years ago, in Canada with our good friend Gordon Reynolds, who has spoken a couple of times here. Many of you know that my dad had Alzheimer's. He was in a care home for a number of years. There was nothing significantly wrong with him health-wise when we left to go to Canada. And exactly halfway through our holiday, Dad passed away very suddenly. Rhiannon, our oldest, phoned us up and told us that hard news, that heartbreaking news. And thankfully, we got home. We got home quickly. We got home the next morning. And just into that kind of overdrive mode where you do, and I just took over everything and arranged the funeral and did a tribute at his funeral. We've all lost loved ones, folks. We've all walked those hard roads. Many of you will know that my brother Michael passed away a few years ago. He actually was my age that I am now at 58. Had been unwell for a couple of years. Remember the night that he passed away, I think it was a Tuesday night, Mum had been with him in the care home. Esther and I had been in the Royal Victoria Hospital with one of our members in Newton Arch Road, Elam. This was during COVID and all the restrictions. And we were sitting in the Royal Victoria Hospital with one of our members who at 6 o'clock that morning took on well. And at 6:30 that night, with her family around her bed, with Esther on one side holding her hand, and myself on the other hand, not knowing that my brother Michael was going to pass away, obviously. And Grace passed away at 6:30. And we got home, and I sent Mum a wee message to ask how Michael was. And he had passed away literally within half an hour. I remember that week, God really undertook for us, and on the Friday morning at 11 o'clock in Lisburn, I buried my brother. I conducted the funeral service. I spoke at his funeral. God was gracious. He was with us. The next morning at 9 o'clock, JT will know the church well, in Newton Arch Road, I conducted the funeral service of our church member, Grace. I was in the middle that week of preparing a sermon, and I think it was something about the storms of life. Little did I know what was going to happen from Tuesday onwards, and I wanted to preach it, and I did, and I preached it on the Sunday morning, and then I took a week off. You know, God was gracious, and God helped through all of that situation. We know what it's like when an 18-year-old daughter comes home and tells you that she's pregnant. We know what it's like to have a grandson born 7 weeks premature with a collapsed lung needing emergency surgery. And then you get a call at 5 a.m. the next morning to say that he stopped breathing. And you rush to the hospital and you find out that he's pulled through. Yes, we have been on hard roads. And we have worn those ugly shoes, but we can testify and we can praise God that they have led us to beautiful destinations. We wouldn't be here today. I mean this so sincerely. We would not be here today if it wasn't for those hard roads that God had us on, led us on, and led us through. All that time with the property and the business, that was God's way of redirecting me in a different direction so that I would come back to love him more, that I would come back to serve him, and that I would dedicate the rest of my life to serving him and serving others. So folks, I know as I speak this morning, I know, and I've been personal and I felt it was right to do that. If my honesty and my vulnerability can help some of you, well, then I'm pleased. Many of you are going through these nasty situations, difficult roads. You're wearing ugly shoes. Keep trusting him in the darkness, keep trusting him in the pain. I want to finish just speaking, and then we're going to play a video. Sammy Gordon. It's a hard road that Sammy has been on for the past 3 months. Thank you to everyone who's been able to call and see him. I got a wee message that he was quite low on Friday night, and I went over to see him quite late on Friday night. I wanted just to call and see him. His nephew had said, Paul, he might be sleeping. I said, I'll go over anyway. And I called to see him, and he wasn't sleeping. He was awake. And as soon as he saw me, he started smiling. Those of you who know Sammy, boy, he can smile. And even in the middle of his pain and in his suffering, he could tell me that there was only one God, that there was only one Savior, that he was the King of Kings, that he was the Lord of Lords. And when I prayed with him again and again and again and again, he said, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hard roads lead to beautiful destinations. Sammy has his eye on that beautiful destination. He's got his eye on heaven. He's got his eye on the Lord. He's got his eye on the loved ones that have gone before him. And one day heaven will be our new, glorious, beautiful home, a destination well worth traveling on. The hard roads that we're going through now. Folks, if you don't know the Lord this morning, you need to get to know him. Dan put out that challenge this morning. Don't delay it any longer. And so, folks, as I close this morning, most of you will know this beautiful song. I think I might be able to just hit the button and play it. It's I Can Only Imagine by Bart Mither. And it's all about our beautiful destination. Thank you, Dave.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.